Hello. Hi. Welcome, everybody. my name is Janine Guimaraes. I'm the curatorial assistant in the Department of Drawings. I worked on this exhibition, Tangled Alphabets, Leon Ferrari and Mira Shandell, and it was organized by Luis Perez Oramas, the curator of Latin American art here at MoMA. And what I'm going to do is I'll talk a little bit about the curatorial premise of the exhibition and give you a brief background on both artists, and then show you a selection of works from the exhibition and explain their works and how they dialogue with each other. And please feel free to interrupt if you have any questions, or you can also save your questions for the end of the lecture. So Tangled Alphabets is the title of the exhibition, and it encompasses the works of Argentine artist Leon Ferrari and Swiss-born Brazilian artist Mira Shandell, bringing together a range of works dating from the early 1950s through the 1980s in Shandell's case, she died in 1988, and through 2007 for Ferrari, who remains active today at the age of 89. Although both artists did not influence each other directly, Ferrari was based in Buenos Aires and Shandell was based in Sao Paulo, they incorporated and materialized an art-based language into their artistic repertoire, addressing many complex issues between visual art and language, such as the visual potentialities of language, writing as gesture and the gesture of language, and the tension between a pure visual field and a coded language, as well as addressing issues regarding contemporary history, religion, and politics. This exhibition displays the works of these two artists together in dialogue with one another, and explores their similar artistic style through a thematic and fairly chronological installation. The notion of a comparative retrospective, such as this one, a show surveying two or more parallel artistic productions, is not really new at MoMA. On the contrary, MoMA started its exhibition history by showing the works of four post-impressionist artists in 1929, and since then it has excelled in the presentation of parallel artistic productions. This latest installation is the first comprehensive exhibition of these two artists in the United States, comprising of nearly 200 works, half of which are seen here for the very first time. Both Ferrari and Shandell have been, for most of their life, solitary artists, not pertaining to any particular movement. The idea that their art can express the anxiety of existential or religious questions, or address the notion of silence or of emptiness or the tragic noises of history, has been paramount feature in their works. Shandell was born in Switzerland to Jewish parents and migrated to Milan at a young age when her mother remarried. Italian was her first language, and although she was an introvert child, she was deeply interested at a young age in poetry and drawing. Having attended the Catholic University in Milan to study philosophy and theology, she was forced to flee Nazi persecution due to Mussolini's anti-Semite laws and traveled through Vienna and Sarajevo before joining a refugee camp. A displaced person, Shandell migrated to Porto Alegre, Brazil in 1949 to start over and settled in Sao Paulo in 1953 until her death in 1988. It wasn't until she reached 30 years of age that she began painting, that she used art as a form to express herself in an obsessive, repetitive manner, and that she finally placed her own roots in foreign soil to start a family and a new life. She is survived by one daughter, Ada Shandell, caretaker of her mother's estate and a major lender to this exhibition, and by her husband and three grandkids currently living in Sao Paulo. Ferrari lived in Buenos Aires and was a third of six children to Catholic parents. His father, Augusto Ferrari, was an Italian emigre well known for his architecture. Having studied engineering at the University of Buenos Aires, he was determined with the counsel of his father to pursue chemical engineering and only saw the possibility of becoming an artist later on in his life. It was when Ferrari had to travel to Florence to provide his daughter with better medical treatment that he stayed in Rome and became enthused with ceramics, affirming a dormant interest since his days at the university. And I just want to point out, this slide is a picture of Leon in his studio in Rome in 1955, a studio that he rented and for about a year, And you can see in the background the type of different sculptures and ceramics that he was working on, you know, from really big, long, and shallow sculptures to very tiny little ones. And it's really interesting to see at the back a poster of Picasso. You know, he remembers buying that poster very specifically. Ferrari was later forced to exile and uproot his family to Sao Paulo, Brazil in 1976 due to the oppressive militant dictatorship in Argentina. The exile years caused a tremendous impact within himself and his artwork, mainly due to the loss of his younger son, who was murdered by the Argentine military junta, along with his fiancée and unborn child. He lived in Brazil for over 10 years, until 1991, when he finally returned to his native country, where he currently lives with his wife, his two children, and a great number of grandkids and great-grandkids. And Ferrari was also a major lender to this exhibition, along with his family in Brazil and in Argentina. Both of these artists did not receive a fine arts education in that sense. They are self-taught artists with self-taught methods, and these early works from the 1950s, Still Lifes by Schendel and Abstract Ceramics by Ferrari, paved the path for their artistic explorations that will eventually lead them to pure gestural abstraction in the 1960s. Whereas Schendel incorporates a textural muted monochromatic palette into these early paintings, Ferrari explores abstract anthropomorphic figures in his early ceramics. This work, titled Mujer, or Woman, is one of the few large volumetric vessels that exist today in the artist's possession, and which incorporates the Italian modernist style that he would have encountered while living in Rome. Critics at the time described his sculptures as luminous, grandiose, and monumental, and Schendel's paintings as difficult and austere canvases. The 1960s marked an important decade for both artists. Their style matured, they received attention from the press, and they started participating in solo and group exhibitions. By this time, Schendel was living in Sao Paulo, and Ferrari returned to Buenos Aires, where both excelled in the contemporary art scene in their respective countries. In these two works, key examples of their time, of the style of their time, both artists begin to manipulate the line. In Schendel's case, she physically incised the surface of the canvas in an obsessive manner, puncturing the canvas with shallow, sweeping cuts in a rhythmic pattern, whereas Ferrari controls the gestural line by creating clusters of scribbles, coils, and web-like structures. This particular drawing by Ferrari, titled Sermon of the Blood, takes its title from a poem by Spanish poet Rafael Alberti, who befriended Ferrari while the artist was living in exile in Buenos Aires. The two often worked together in Ferrari's studio, and during one of their sessions, Alberti read some of his poems out loud, inspiring Ferrari to make this very same drawing, something very complex, he called it. And he was really interested in portraying the color of blood, you know, dry, opaque blood. And when you see this drawing in the exhibition, you can really, the color, the saturated color really stands out. Both Ferrari and Schendel were great draftsmen, concentrating mostly in drawing, a medium that allowed them the freedom to experiment without any barriers. Schendel at this time chose exclusively to use thin Japanese paper, a medium that will propel her to reach corporeal dimensions in her oeuvre. Because the paper was so delicate, she had to devise a way to prevent the paper from tearing from any sharp material that found its way on the surface. She would follow something similar to the monotype printing technique, covering an acrylic sheet with a layer of oil paint, then powder or talc over this layer, and then laying the Japanese paper on top of the glass very gently. With her fingernail, or a dull instrument, she would trace minimal gestures on the paper's surface, a process that had to be done fairly quickly to prevent from the oil seeping through. The end result was a ghostly imprint that was transferred from one surface to another, bringing forth the shadows of lines, marks, and eventually letters, phrases, and symbols. In essence, Schendel breaks away from this hierarchy of front and back, and allows us to observe the translucent qualities of this medium. She would make over 2,000 drawings using this technique in the mid-1960s, labeling her series lines, written, linear drawings, and circumscribed lines, in which she will undertake her own investigation of the notion of transparency to capture, in her own words, quote, the passage of immediate experience and life, end quote, which is hers alone to suffer, as she has explained. And it is, quote, incommunicable and therefore devoid of any meaning, she explains, quote, but the realm of symbols which seeks to capture that life is my anti-life, end quote. By bringing these two realms together, her personal world with that of the letter, Schendel immortalizes the fleeting moment and gives it meaning through the symbol or word, which is why she felt compelled to use this transparent paper. Ferrari was also fascinated with the idea of language, the tool of communication through writing, and began to mimic the gesture of writing through his abstract gestural drawings. In the drawing on the left, we can see that he follows the rows of handwriting with continuous lines, elongating and exaggerating the gestural traces of his hand, which then evolves into a convoluted, nonsensical calligraphy that mimics also some form of abstract writing, even though no real words exist in this drawing. And on the drawing on the right, Schendel's also mimicking writing through gesture. Here she's copying the signature of her husband's name, Knut Schendel. The apex of these experiments is achieved in Ferrari's series Letters to a General, here in dialogue with Schendel's drawings from her series Written. Ferrari has said that this series can be seen, quote, as an imitation of writing, like a taunt, or like a series of codes of an unknown language, end quote. Part of what he has informally labeled as his deformed writing series, these nonsensical letters have clear political underpinnings, making reference to authoritarian generals involved in military dictatorships in Latin America. Ferrari has said, quote, it is difficult to write a logical letter to a general. What I did was an imitation of a letter, or a hidden letter, which might make wonder, does this mean something or not? What had begun as pure gestural abstraction and indecipherable calligraphy later evolved into legible writing in the case of both artists, exemplified in these two works. Luis Perez Oramas, the curator of the exhibition, writes in his catalog essay that according to French philosopher Roland Barthes, quote, writing would have to have come before oral language, end quote. Thus, graphics would have to have come before writing. Perez Oramas explains, quote, if Ferrari's abstract drawings are purely aesthetically a high point in his work, then his written drawings, such as this written painting of 1964, would serve as a platform for a discourse on art. In this work, a detail of which you see on the screen, Ferrari writes about a painting he would have painted had God given him the talent to do so. He writes, quote, if I knew how to paint, if God in his haste and confusion would have touched me by mistake, I would take the hairs of the sable with the end of a flexible ash branch, soaked and dipped in vermilion oil, and exactly at that place I would trace a thin, skinny line with the intention of covering it up, later maneuvering around the transparency. End quote. By replacing the object he describes with text, the text becomes the object it represents, a mental image, a descriptive entity capable of existing through language. Ferrari ends this beautiful convoluted poem with, quote, when it was my turn, I passed next to him with my soul extended in alms. God wouldn't touch me. His hands was busy making the mountain valleys and buttocks of Alafia, and he wouldn't stop, engrossed in Alafia, although it was my turn, and he wouldn't stop, and he wouldn't touch me. At this time, after using Japanese paper as a main support for her drawings, Schendel began to physically manipulate that paper into knots, braiding them together in a continuous link to form a malleable net, a shape-shifting, a three-dimensional paper structure, meant to hang from the ceiling or placed on a pedestal and even worn as the artist did. The artist explains, quote, I wanted to concretize something different, a transitory object made by anyone, end quote. This work, Little Nothing or Droguinha, was her attempt to make an ephemeral form of art, an interesting experiment, she has said, a transitory, temporary object, she explains, something exposed to the world, to the elements, like our own lives, end quote. Likewise, Ferrari began working on his steel sculptures, like this Tower of Babel from 1964, composed of interwoven metal knots, soldered metal pieces, and tangled wires. Its title refers to the Bible story that explains the origin of nations and the variety of human languages. Ferrari believes in something he called Babelism, his notion that individuals are constituted of an endless layering of time-based experiences and memories, and he often revisits earlier ideas and continues to reinvent himself in his artwork even today. And so what started with sculptures now in the 1960s, this being the last one from that era, he would return to this aesthetic later on in his life in the 1970s and 1980s. And even today, he would go back and reuse the same idea over and over again. The notion of language remained resonant throughout their works as they each progressed into their own artistic style. Schendel began to incorporate an amalgamation of letters and symbols onto her Japanese paper, encasing them in between acrylic sheets and hanging them from the ceiling so that they can be perceived from both sides. These graphic objects, as she called them, was her, quote, attempt to bring about drawing through transparency, to do away with front and back, before and after, the problem of temporality and spontaneity. To me, this was really the form through which the object came into being. End quote. Ferrari at this time is using oil pastel and exploring the medium of high impact acrylic for his paintings. He incorporates his typical gestural calligraphy mimicking written text and layers his colors and lines to create a rich visual complex field. The surface of these works have been treated multiple times with a sharp instrument, leaving traces of shallow cuts in a sea of rhythmic visual patterns. These two works also address the interest in cosmology by both artists. In Planet, by Leon Ferrari, created during his exile in Sao Paulo, the artist depicts the world as a suspended star or nuclei. Composed of bent and soldered metal wire, this prismatic spherical structure is his attempt to, quote, make a kind of mapamundi, a globe of some imaginary planet, the planet where I don't live. End quote, a goal he had described in the early 1960s. The cosmological structure that has a distinct woven texture and that allows light to permeate its volume, casting an intricate shadow on its surroundings. Schendel's graphic object from 1972 comprises a spiral-shaped amalgam of letters evoking a metaphor for the creation of the cosmos or an explosion of language. The constellation of letters bursts from the black center in a dynamic swirl and dissipates into the outer bounds, echoing the words written in a 1966 poem by Brazilian concrete poet Haroldo de Campos, end quote, an art of constellated alphabets, of bee-like letters swarming and solitary. Alpha bees. The following decades brought religion and politics into the work's subject matter for both artists. For Schendel, who had studied philosophy and theology, this was a means to share her views with her audience and to reflect on humanity and our own existence, while Ferrari voiced his opinion against any type of oppressive ruling, whether through the government or the Catholic Church, expressing his collages and performative works. Schendel made this installation titled Still Waves of Probability for the 1969 Sao Paulo Biennial, which has been recreated for this exhibition. Accompanied by a text from the Bible's Book of Kings in a hanging acrylic sheet, this work is mainly composed of thousands of thin nylon threads that hang from the ceiling to the floor. The accumulation of thread creates a compact, delicate, and translucent volume, while the text addresses the voice of God, giving the work a religious and spiritual connotation. In this work by Ferrari titled Last Judgment, the artist denounces the Judeo-Christian imagery of the punishments of hell, by taking well-known images of the Last Judgment, in this case of Michelangelo's, and placing the printed posters layered with a type of adhesive on its surface at the bottom of a cage filled with birds whose droppings accumulate on the image over the duration of the exhibition. What we see here is the finished product, a camouflaged collage, if you will, a kinetic work that is constantly changing, moving, and progressing randomly. The artist explains, quote, "While art made with animals is familiar to us, art made with their feces is less usual. A cage with a chicken inside replaces the paintbrush in such a way that the equivalent to the oils used would be the corn and other grains that the bird eats, digests, and lets fall." Ferretti uses these images to condemn the terror and torment he feels are imposed on humanity, promises of tortures for sinners in the afterlife. He even wrote to the Pope asking him to abolish Judgment Day and requesting the abolition of hell, to which he has received no response to this date. Schendel's series of 16 drawings here, titled Homage to God, Father of the West, is her most explicitly religious work to date, and her last attempt to incorporate her theological investigations into her art practice. Accompanied by fragments from the Bible Book of Psalms, these drawings are composed of violent oblique marks and streaks of red, black, bronze, and silver. The title plays ironically on the Judeo-Christian belief in God as judge and punisher, and the pairing of pictorial gestures with the biblical voice reflects Schendel's idea of a contradiction between faith and daily life. Ferrari's harsh experience with political repression in Argentina in the 1970s led him to produce a series of political collages in which he denounces the government and the Catholic Church. The artist has said of this work from this period, quote, "It isn't anti-religious art, but art that is against repression, torture, and power. It isn't a problem with religion, but rather a problem with intolerance and violence against others," end quote. In this group of works, belonging to the series Rereadings of the Bible, Ferretti pairs Catholic iconography, such as angels, with contemporary pictures of atomic bombs and missiles, lending ironic or satirical meaning to the mass-produced images. Both artists return to the idea of materializing language into their later works. Ferretti concentrates on typing braille text of various poems onto the surface of photographs of nude women. Free Union, the image on the far left, is a printed reproduction of a 1924 photograph taken by the artist's father. The poem, written by French poet and surrealist André Breton, celebrates the female body, and Ferretti encouraged the audience to, quote, read the poem by caressing the woman's body, thus creating a tactile experience of language. Likewise, Schendel created her series Little Things or Toquinhos, which are objects that hang from the ceiling. These two works are composed of numbers, letters, dyed papers, and signs placed between acrylic blocks that function like windows. For Schendel, language is a transparent form that only becomes complete through the public interaction, and these indecipherable signs are waiting for meaning or a voice to appropriate them. The exhibition ends with Schendel's last series of paintings from 1987, titled Splints or Sarrafos, which she did a year before she passed away. In these monochrome paintings, three-dimensional black elements protrude into the spectator's space at various angles, contrasting with the white surface of the support. The opposition between these black volumetric lines and the empty planar surfaces embody the artist's lifelong pursuit of art capable of evoking silence in concrete corporeal terms. If we think about how we started the exhibition with figurative paintings of still lifes, we can say that we have come full circle by ending with paintings about nothingness, a sublime notion that the artist wanted to share with us later in her life. As for Ferretti, the exhibition ends with a selection of suspended sculptures made of different mass-produced or found materials, such as branches, polyurethane foam, and plastic bones. This sculpture also represents the gestural accumulations of the artist's earlier steel sculptures. In its critical dimension, the work is related to two elements pervasive throughout the artist's practice: a critique of the Catholic Church concept of hell and a repressive political regimes. Here he has used a mixture of bones, the ribcage, hand, feet, skull, to refer perhaps to their association with death to both hell and modern genocides. The artist has said, quote, "I was interested in bones as an aesthetic element because I approached a kind of forgetting what death means. It is like making a sculpture, although the material gives it a different charge, one that is tragic, strong, but I leave it up to the viewer to deal with the meaning." It's also interesting now, you know, in his late 80s, he's thinking about his own mortality, in a sense, when he's dealing with these sculptures made out of plastic bones that mimic the human skeleton. Both artists went to become two of the most significant artists in Latin America, affecting a younger generation of artists to the present day. Although Schendel passed away in 1988, her daughter, through her estate, continues her mother's legacy with endless exhibitions in Brazil, South America, and Europe, while Ferrari, who is still active today in his studio in Buenos Aires, recently won the Golden Lion, a prestigious prize given by the Venice Biennale in recognition of the artist's extensive artistic production. And we are just so happy that we were able to do this exhibition on these two fairly unknown artists to the American audience. It was long in the making, about 2 years in the process, and gathering the works from all over the world, from Europe, the United States, and even South America, was a huge undertaking. But we were really happy with the end result because the works really talk to each other, in dialogue with each other. And I hope that this lecture gave you a brief glimpse of what the exhibition has upstairs. Thank you. If anybody has any questions. Yeah. They knew each other very briefly. When Leon was exiled to Brazil, he lived there for 10 years. Schendel, at the time, she was already a well-known artist, had a series of retrospectives, really heralded for her work at the time. They even participated in an exhibition together, along with other contemporary Brazilian artists. And he says that they even exchanged, you know, small, intimate works with each other. But that was really the extent of it. He was doing his own thing in Argentina, and she was doing her own thing in Brazil. And it's just amazing how, you know, close their work came to each other, even though they were living in two separate countries. But when we spoke to him and we proposed this idea of doing a show in comparison with her works, he was just thrilled. And it's funny because when we were showing him the list of works that we wanted to pair with his works, he would say, "Oh, that's my work." And it was really Schendel's, but that was it. You know, it's what we wanted to do. And he was just so amazed to see how similar, especially his paintings of the 1980s to her graphic objects were. So, and we were really happy with that response. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Now, has there been another exhibit where the two of them have been compared?
No. This is the first one. Both of them have had a series of individual solo exhibitions in South America and in Europe. They're both very well known, you know, throughout Latin American modernism. They have impacted a huge number of younger artists, you know, to this day that, continue to do their own works, you know, by their influence. Ferrari, who's still alive, has a great impact in the contemporary scene in Argentina as we speak. But this is the first time that we were able to do a dual retrospective, is what we're calling it, in the United States. And it's actually the first one ever to be done. Of their both works. Yes?
Will Ferrari come to the United States to see the
same? We're hoping. We really tried hard for him to come to the opening. That was not possible. He is 89 and he just feels very tired lately. But his grandkids and his great-grandkids came to the exhibition, and they were ecstatic, and they took lots of pictures, lots of video, and they showed it to Leon, and he was really, really happy with the outcome. And, you know, we talked to him and his grandkids and his family on a daily basis, and we're just hoping that he is able to come, but we don't know yet. Mm-hmm. Yes. Can you repeat your question?
How do you situate New Russian Vogue within Brazilian modernist movements such as Lydia Clark and other?
That's a great question. Mira Shandel, along with other Brazilian artists at the time, Lydia Clark, Elio Tisica, were really, what I would say, the three main artists at that time. They were constantly paired with each other in exhibitions. They knew each other. They would share each other's works. And they were really three of the most important artists of Brazilian modernism at the time, you know, from the 60s on. And both of them, all three of them actually, just had their own individual styles. But at the time, with Brazilian neo-concrete art, they both were able to excel from that period and that movement. And so she was really well within that that artistic style. And I want to say that they influenced each other directly. You know, they were bouncing ideas off each other. But she is really important to that movement, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, you had a question.
Are there any galleries in the city that you know of that represent these artists or that deals exclusively with Latin American art?
There do exist some galleries, not as much. You know, I would say that after this exhibition, their works are definitely going to have a huge impact in the market. Mira Shandel has one gallery in specifically in Brazil that deals with her works. And this gallery works really closely with the estate. But there really aren't any galleries in the United States that are, you know, particular to her work. But I'm seeing a difference now. And when this show opened, other galleries started opening little exhibitions on her work. But not as much as you would think, and I think that's going to change. As for Ferrari, there are two galleries in New York that have done exhibitions on him or that have continually have shown his works, very sporadically though. But I think after this exhibition, that's going to change. So, mm-hmm. But he doesn't really belong to any gallery, and I think he's really clear on that. He actually deals with the market himself directly. So, mm-hmm. Any other questions? Well, thank you, everybody, and I hope you get to see the exhibition. Thank you.